Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We hope and trust that you have your Bibles handy, praise Yahweh, and your thought process in gear, and that you're all geared up and ready to go into tonight's message. We think we have a very interesting, informative message for you. We're going to deal with the inner sanctum of the mind. You know, the Bible talks about the two minds that we possess. We have a what we call a conscious mind, and then we have what is known as the subconscious. Now, these two are woven together, probably tied together is a better word, and at most times they are at odds against one another. We have the flesh man. He uses the conscious mind with the five senses as the conscious mind is geared to the five realms of the five senses. And we're constantly shifting gears, going from one extreme to the other, trying to find our little niche or position and as it is in life in the flesh man. And you know, it's just like the old saying, by the time you get ready to live, or prepared to live, or know how to live, you've got to die. Isn't that a terrible thing to think about, that you were born actually to leave here? That this was just a birth, a, if you will, life itself is just a shoot into somewhere else, not here. This is a temporal, and the mind is very temporal, as you very well know. It's most minds, and I would include mine, is very shallow. And the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject unto the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, and neither the spirit man of the natural. So therefore, we have a warfare. Again, if we look at why that Samson lost his power when Delilah cut his hair, it's a story here. It's woven into the scriptures, and the Bible said these things happened to them for examples. Now, here's a man that had a Nazarite vow. He was promised by the angel of Samson's mother and dad. They met him in the field a couple of times. The first time was the female met him, Samson's mother. And she, not being in a position to really believe the angel, had some questions. She called her husband. And that is a type of Adam and Eve, that the male-female, negative-positive, and it takes, I don't know why, but it takes this negative-positive reaction in life and in the natural as well as the spiritual, and we're going to type it out for you. But it does, because if you notice a automobile, it is a mechanical device built by man, and yet it pretty much runs like the body of man. It has a negative and positive electrical system that makes it go. Now, it has nothing to do with providing anything other than just starting the car up. But as you were about, no, you can't go nowhere until you start up. So it takes a positive, negative ion or an energy thrust, and you can take the negative cable off, and if you think it's all positive, you just take your negative cable off, or your what we call the grounding cable, and in a sense, Eve was the grounding effect for Adam. It brought him to earth and put him in touch with the outward existence of his mind. Now, it was a sad state, but it was nevertheless, I believe it was a chosen path that man must walk on. I believe all these things happen for examples, as the Bible said, and I believe that the earth here in this dimension. We call it the third dimension. This is just a training ground, a school. And the Bible refers to the laws of God, as the schoolmaster. So we are in school. Every day there's an example. Every day there's a teaching aid. And every day you must be positively and negatively grounded to reality. Some people lose reality or the hold of reality, and they go soaring up where, as the old saying goes, where the little birdies sing. They get overabundantly religious. You know what the Bible says about people that are over-religious? Here's what it says. Be not overly righteous, lest you shorten your days upon the earth. Now, if you go around and you're afraid to eat meat, or you're afraid to drink a beer, or you're afraid to hear a curse word or anything like this, and you're terrified of evil and things of this nature, then you're of all men most miserable. You're not grounded to reality. I mean, this is the real world. I mean, let's face it. We are here to contrast between the positive and negative forces, and so it was with Samson, as the hair represented the spiritual power which grows in or out of the higher mind of himself. And so then, this was a symbol. His hair was his power. And it actually reverses itself in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because the Bible said, for this cause a woman should have long hair because of power upon her head. And it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But in this case, Samson was obligated and sworn to a Nazarene vow. Now, that's an exception. It's a vow that would come upon the male or female. Either one could take this vow. In this case, so it was okay by the Holy Father for male or female to take upon themselves this vow of a Nazarene and to purify themselves before the Father. And that's what Samson was. He represented the pure inward realm of power of the subconscious mind. We call it the super subconscious. And here was the emotion, the carnal, represented by Delilah. There's nothing more impacting upon a man for temptation than it is for a beautiful woman to come in his presence with her perfume and with her fluttering eyes and with her charm. I mean, a man never learns. It's just the old story that, you know, most of the time the old saying is a woman can make a fool, or a woman can have a fool for a man anytime she wants him. So this shows you the power of this negative or positive realm that affects each of us in our minds. Now, I don't know about you, but every day there is a cycle of development in the mind. Now, the Bible teaches us to grow into grace and knowledge. If you're no smarter today than you was 30 years ago, then your purpose has been defeated and you're not going to be long for the planet. What is the old saying? That the mind, the idle mind, is a field for Satan to sow seed in. Idle minds. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnal minded is death. But there is a happy medium between the two. Now, you know, when Christ came to the planet, everybody was thinking, you know, it had been long prophesied that the Messiah was to come back to the planet. And so there was a very, very religious section of the Hebrews, meaning the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. These were the doctors of the law. They were the quote-unquote experts. They were, you know, they ate, they washed before they eat, and they did all these proper things that they thought that the law was protecting or to suggesting for them. And so they wrote, actually, 614 amendments to the embodiment of Yahweh's law. Then that's why he said, is it not written in your law that I said you're gods? and they became gods. They became exalted beings. Remember, the Bible said a Pharisee is someone that trusts in his own righteousness and despises the righteousness of others. In other words, going around with his long nose with his finger pointing in the other direction. But as the old saying goes, when you point your finger, then about three come back at you with a closed fist, a clenched fist. And that's basically how it is. The Bible said to judge not, lest you be judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. If you sow peace, if you sow love, if you sow harmony, if you sow joy, then you're going to reap that. If you're angry and you're jealous and envious and spiteful, then you're going to reap a whirlwind of cancer, tumors. See, these things, anger in a bosom of a fool, and the Bible said anger does rest in the bosom of a fool. And I talked to you about the coat of many colors. As red represents the negative positive. Red is passion. Red is energy. Red is positive. But red can be turned into anger. Electricity is good. And you can't see it falling on the line, but if you take a hold of a naked wire and you wet your fingers real good and then stick your finger in a light socket, you are going to get energized in your hair. And they have experience to show you the electrostatic, how it affects the hair. And so it is with Samson here. The hair was the source of his inner strength. He was a superman. As long as he had that hair in a Nazarene vow mode, this man was awesome. He took a jawbone of a donkey, and he killed 1,000 of the Philistines. Isn't that amazing? One man slayed 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. To me, that's amazing. He actually went down to the camp of the Philistines, and of course they were in a compound city, and he took off the main city gates. He carried them both up into the mountain. And this was an enormous feat. The Philistines were absolutely terrified of the strength of Samson. And so they were puzzled and trying to attack this mighty man, how to weaken him or how to get inside his head and think like he thought, and that things of this nature, find out his secret of his strength. And so, who did they choose? Delilah. She purposely was placed where Samson, now this was a strange woman, ladies and gentlemen, that Samson was playing around with. She was a Philistine. And she was not to be on Samson's most wanted list. But, you see, darkness, the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. See, the negative or the carnal, the five senses appeals to our flesh man. And here was Samson, strong, mighty, powerful. He was a philosopher. He could put out riddles he actually stumped the enemy. He said, I'll tell you my strength if you can solve this riddle. And so he gave them riddles and compound questions, and they couldn't answer. But they had a super weapon. They had this five senses of emotion. And this woman, who is represented by the flesh of Delilah, represents the emotions that is able to cut away the power of the inward being. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Bible said. It's the little thing. You don't trip on a mountain. No one ever trips on a mountain. It's the little molehills that you trip over that you don't observe as you look up or you arrogantly go trotting along in life thinking that you're super con man or whatever, and you're Superman, and you have the world by the tail, and everything is going your way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way life is geared up. Many, the Bible said, are the afflictions of the righteous. So your spirit mind is going to have to do battle. You're going to have to stand up and be counted. You must discipline yourself in strong disciplinary measures to conquer the five senses. And he said, Pastor Buddy, has anyone ever conquered the five senses? The Bible said we've all sinned and we've come short. That's why that if a learning process, I'll give you an example. You learn more. I'm going to repeat this now. You listen to me very carefully. This is a very important statement, and it's took me 42 years to find this out in religious travel. But I've learned this. You learn more from your mistakes or your failures or your falls than you do your successes. And I'll tell you why. Your faults and your failures and your falls wound the heart. Your successes swell your head. And anybody with a swell head is ready for a fall because you're going to lose sight of where you're going. And the Bible said pride goes before a fall. So if you get very proud of your carnality, your five senses, and, you know, you're the best-looking thing since sliced bread, or you have more money than your next-door neighbor, and you can bring in, he drives an old beat-up jalopy, a $300 car, and you drive a 39 or 40,000 over the road max Honda or something like this. You are actually trying to be a status setter, because if you live next to a man that had a Learjet parked in his driveway or a Rolls Royce, you would be poor as the man compared that you are. So it's status symboling. And so you have to get among those that you can be looked up to or envied by. And that's why that the rich, the stars, they call them stars, and that's why that they are noted as star people, and we are stargazers. We like to watch beautiful people, and we keep up with their sex lives, who they slept with and who they didn't sleep with, and we envy, and we desire, and we lust. And we never have those things. But there is a certain segment of society that's born gifted and beautiful. I mean, they're dazzling. Their teeth are perfect. Their skin is so perfect. Their eyes are so beautiful. Their figures are something to die for. And their charisma is just, I mean, they just loaded with it. They just drip. They wake up in the morning, you know, it takes you about an hour to get going, and you've got to run into the bathroom and do your best to get yourself presentable for the day, and then you go out ashamed. But these guys, I mean, they wake up looking like, you know, Brad Pitt or Louis Taylor. She used to be one of my idols. She was a very beautiful young woman, and she's still functioning, by the way. But ladies and gentlemen, beauty is vain. And so the carnal mind will get you in all kinds of trouble if you try to submit yourself to the five senses, and that's exactly what got Samson in trouble with Delilah. She represented the power to shut down the inward. Now, I call this the inner child, Christ in you. You know what he is? He's meek. He's very lowly. He's very pitiful. The Bible describes him. This is the Christ spirit. When it's rebuffed, it don't rebuff again. When it's hated, it don't hate back. When it's threatened, it don't threaten back. These things. This is the Christ child. Very few people have this. Very few people have the Christ child within. All they have is a raging lion. Oh, they act like they're good until you try them. You know a tree by its fruit. You'll find out how much bitterness and envy and cursing and hatred and violence and everything else is loaded in them in the works of the flesh. And if you go to Galatians chapter 17, you'll find 17 works of the flesh. 17 works of the flesh. Now, why 17 works of the flesh? 7 and 1 is 8, and 8 is the beginning that the flesh desires to have its life here and its cake and eat it too. But you see, God intervened and cursed the outward man to death. So it's certain you brought nothing in from the carnal. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. What are you going to give in exchange? So, and you can take nothing out but the inner child. If you've got the inner child, or the Christ consciousness, or the Christ spirit, we call it, the power of the subconscious inward being, if you know where you're going, if you have learned through obedience and meditation, and being filled with the love and the power of the inward being, and being radiated by the energy of the positive and negative connection. You're not overly righteous. You are, when you meet someone that is weak, you get weaker. Instead of getting over them, you get under them. Instead of putting them down, you raise them up. Instead of speaking evil, you speak good. This is the works of the spirit man. Very few people have it in their possession, or they claim that they're correct and that they are right and they're going to heaven. But when you measure their works against the attributes of the spirit, then you'll find exactly that there's something to be desired. Praise Yahweh. Now that when we lose the inherent divine power that enables us to overcome our enemies, then we've been to Delilah's barbershop. Now, what is that enemy? It is our thoughts. Did you know that the Bible says it take no thought? Because once you begin to take thought, you know what meditation is? The ability to think about nothing. Actually, it's to empty yourself of everything to be filled with nothing. God represents nothing. He's endless space. If you look into the cosmos, you'll see endless space there for you to linger in and for you to move about. There's no restrictions. The Bible says that He fills heaven and earth. I'm talking about God. When you get into the God mind, or the Christ mind, we call it, then you have unlimited space to move about in the glory and the realm of the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Praise Yahweh. Now, let's go, before we get a break here, and talk about the story of Jacob. Why was Jacob's thigh put out when the angel touched him in the thigh? Have you ever thought about that? And then now we're going to answer some of the questions that our mind wants to know why. Well, if you look at the thigh, it represents the desire. It carries you, the thighs, it's connected to your legs, and it moves you towards your desires. Now, the Bible said in the last days, men will run to and fro. They use the thighs as the hip joints to carry them to wherever the desires go. Now, if your desires are carnal, the five senses, and you're pursuing, I've seen many a man. I'm what they call an old soldier on the field here. And I've seen so many men deprive themselves of food, clothing, and shelter, and the things, and they had literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars laying up in the bank, and yet they were running for more. And they never did get enough. You see, the Bible talks about getting riches with the curses that are upon it with no blessings. Then there's those that get a little with the blessings and have riches. So the Bible said a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he has. Let me repeat that. Very important for you to think about that. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he has on the outward. You can only eat so much food, and a poor man can do the same. It don't take long to fill you up on beans and taters, or taters and beans. And a rich man may be eating steak, but he can only eat so much, and so can you. He can only put on one pair of pants. He can only drive one car, and he can only leap one tall building at a time. And so they just, you see, you're limited. Everything you equal out, if you will, and it's for certain that he brought nothing in, he can't take nothing out. He can accumulate, but he can't take it out. He leaves it for the lawyers or for the family to fight and squabble over. And before you know it, the lawyers got everything he did have, gathered up, and then they gather his riches into their barn. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Betty, and the reason why that we're talking tonight about why is because the questions are there. And we want to know the answer. We're coming back in the second half, and I'll give you the reason why that Jacob's thigh was put out of joint. Praise Yahweh. We're coming back. You come back with us. Shepherd's Call, Pastor Betty. Bless you, Israel. Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to Shepherd's Call. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're just so delighted to be on Truth Radio. we just cherish the opportunity each night. We look forward to coming on and ministering to our little congregation on Truth Radio. We're worldwide tonight, as you can have us on satellite anywhere in the world, or your computer downloads, or your micro rebroadcasters. So we welcome you aboard. We don't know how that you're listening to us tonight, but we would that you contact us and let us know. We just want to know you're there, and it does our heart good, like it does our body good. And we're not talking about milk. We're talking about the meat eaters, praise Yahweh, them that know where they're at in life. Jacob knew where he was at, and I told you that the greatest enemy that Samson had to overcome was himself. You see, the power was within Samson, and yet he gave his power away. It was his urge to tell somebody his little secret. And the Bible said he was never to tell anyone. No one, not even the wife that laid on his breast. He was not to tell. And yet this Delilah, which I said represented the carnal desires. You see, we want to please people. Men pleasers or women pleasers. Our carnal mind is forever trying to please your husband or a wife. If you get married, the Bible says you want to please your husband. If you're a woman. If you're a man, you want to do those things which are pleasing to your wife. But if you're not married, the Bible says you care for the things that not be of the flesh, but of how to please the Father. Now, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to show you something, and I believe that it is designed in numerical order. Why that in Corinthians that Paul used the 12th chapter to speak about organization of the two opposite minds, the spirit mind and the carnal mind. Then he used the 13th chapter, which represents the third 13 tribes, as the chapter to express itself in love. It's a love chapter, charity. It's the greatest of all the gifts, and yet 12 is the one body and many member. Organization 12 is government. And so if you go to Numbers chapter 2, you'll see that God formulated the mind, the subconscious and the conscious mind in a format of a Maseroth. Now, if you don't know what the word Maseroth means, it is the Hebrew word for the Greek word zodiac. And it's spoken of in the book of Job. He formed a Maseroth, and there he displayed the expression to Moses in a carnal setting, in a physical setting. He displayed the inward mind of the carnal, physical, negative, and the spiritual, positive mind of the Father. These two are at war against each other. It's just like darkness and light has no fellowship. I repeat that. Darkness and light has no fellowship. And the Bible said, make sure that the light in you be not darkness. A lot of people, their thought. It's their thought process. I told you the greatest enemy that you've got to conquer is yourself. And the greatest enemy that you have to overcome is your thought process. You've got to learn how to steal your thoughts and think about nothing to be filled with everything. This is the paradox here. That it just troubles or frustrates the human to no end. But if you can master the organizational of the 12 completeness of the eternal spirit within you, represent the 12 tribes, which is government, and in the 13th one added, this is the Heavenly Father to sit among us. The 13th represents the Father among us. And that's charity. And I'll give you a little expression here just in a moment. But I said now that the greatest enemy you have is your thought process. Now, how do you cease from thinking? Take no thought for what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, all these things that we think about. These are our time, which is valuable. Your days are numbered upon the earth. Your hours, your seconds, and your minute are numbered. You have a specific, some more, some less, but on an average, you don't have very long. I figured it out. Up one time, if a man lives to be 60 years of age on an average, and that's about where her lifespan is now. Woman just a couple years younger, but that's fast fading because she's gone to smoking and drinking and working in the workplace and, you know, running around. Whereas she used to be a homemaker. She cared for children and the things of love and compassion and charity. but she's left her home. She's got on the birth control pill, and she's quit having children, and she's quit functioning for her function, which is to be fruitful and multiply, and she's going out to make her a career and to be a career lady. And the five senses of her mind is, I'm somebody. I finally arrived. I'm in a high tower. I can't even figure this out, just like in the World Trade Tower Center. There was reputed to be 60 to 100,000 people that were working in this building. Can you imagine that they build concrete and steel and place it with thousands of feet up in the air, and then you run up and down elevators, and you sit in some little stuffy office up there, and you punch in a computer, and you're somebody. And you have to work there from 9 to 5 or 9 to whenever, and then you come down and you hit the streets and you run like a pack of rats. You're in the rat race, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, come out of her, my people. Come out of the carnal. Go in. The way out of here is in. I'm going to repeat that. The way to escape or get out of here is to go in. To turn yourself inwardly. And think about this. Praise God. Now, let's notice why that Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and why the angel struck him in the thigh. It was a mark upon the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it's spoken about frequently in the Bible, if you don't know. But what was the question that provoked the angel to strike him in the thigh that he couldn't pursue him? See, the angel said, let me go, for it is getting daybreak, and I cannot be seen here. Upon this planet in the third dimension, my orders is to not be seen or detected by anyone other than you, Jacob. The Bible said, if the gospel's hid, fear for them it's lost. So Jacob was wrestling or struggling. It was actually an internal struggle, for immediately after having his thigh put out, Jacob met God face to face, and he called the place Peniel. Isn't that strange? Just as, and the question, I'm intrigued at the question. He said, what is your name? Tell me what your name is. Remember the Bible says that the whole family in heaven and earth is in this name of the Heavenly Father. Isn't it wonderful that you have a choice here to find out His name? Are your struggles and your desires to find out, to grow in grace and knowledge, and to find out the family's name, to get in it, to be sealed, to come into the inheritance? You can't inherit anything without the name. That's for sure. So if you run for the world and gain the whole world and you lose the ability to find out His name, you've lost the most important, a most amazing opportunity that is ever placed before you. So run this race with patience. Praise Yahweh. Now when he met God face to face, remember, he went to Peniel. In other words, when we sacrifice our desires in meditation or go in and wrestle with the inward, we're lifted to the pineal or the pineal gland of the brain in the right hemisphere or temple that is open so that we may enter into the holiest of holies. Remember what I told you then that the curtain was drawn across the tent, and the Ark of the Covenant was concealed, and only one time was the high priest to enter? Well, you now are the high priest. See, there is no high priest anymore. We're all priests. And you must go, and the Bible said it's a fearful thing. Yes, it's a fearful thing for you to lock yourself away in a dark cave. And I've been there, I know, for days and days and days and nights and nights and nights. I used to take my Bible, and I would go and get in a cave, my favorite place to go was in a cool cave, and I would there fast and pray and for weeks at a time. Why? Because I was hungry. I was resting. My desire was that my feet, my thighs, was carrying me after my desires. And you know a tree by its fruit. You don't go out and gather grapes off of a thorn tree. That's the world. Remember that. You don't sow seed in a thorn patch. You're going to choke it up with the cares of this world. So you got to come out of the world to find the Father and to realize that when you find the Father, He ain't up in the sky. Where's He at, Pastor Brad? Christ in you. He's in you. And He's not near, He's not very far from you. He's nearer than when you first believed. So you gotta go in to work that one self-same spirit, dividing to every man's servant, as well, dividing the flesh man, the carnal desires, from the spirit man. And they war with each other constantly. Now you gotta keep this alive, man. You gotta keep him in order. You gotta keep him fasted down and pray. If you have an ought against your brother, you just hunt him up and and you love him, and things of this nature, and keep your body clean and healthy. Don't let the seeds of thoughts in your mind defile your body. See, that's what defiled Judas. After he betrayed the Messiah, his thought process, his conscience was so condemned, the Bible said he took the 30 pieces of silver that he lusted for, because he was a thief. He sold out the Messiah for 30 pieces, and the 30 represents the three aspects of the nature of divine or undivine. Man is a double six, or a double three. So man's nature is, when it's reduced to three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and that's who you become, God in you, the hope of glory. You got to have that perfection in three. For there are three by record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Not as one. You can't be as one with God. Most Christians want to be as one. They want to go to church and be as one. You got to be our one. That is, you got to find him within. You cannot find him without. You can't sign enough cards and shake enough preacher's hands to go to heaven. You got to go right, and if you don't go right, you can't go at all. Because the Father's not interested in how good you are. You can give all your goods to feed the poor and have not charity. He's going to profit you nothing. He's interested in how right you are. You got to be right to go. So then, notice here in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding voice and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Most Christians are in this predicament. Now, what is charity? It suffers long. It's kind. It envieth not. It does not vaunt itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It seeketh not its own. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Listen, it thinks no evil. A mind that thinks evil constantly or harm is a mind that is done infested with demonic demons, and you must rid yourself of these carnal desires of the flesh to inflict pain or torture or hatred or malice or violence is not the attribute of the Christ child. Christ was lowly. He was very humble. When he was slapped and kicked around, he opened on his mouth. He had the five carnal senses conquered completely. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things, and it never fails. My, what a wonderful attribute. And that's what Jacob, when he seen God face to face, he came into direct contact with the pineal gland in the third eye when he saw God. And there he worshipped and communed with him, praise Yahweh. Now, why did the Messiah pick 12 disciples? You ever wonder why? I just gave you the answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 12 is organization. It is the complete number. And so by 12, he chose 12, and these 12 represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But remember, Judas was the tower among the wheat. His name was Judah. Hellenized word is Judas, but his real name was Judah. His name Judah. And he said, I've chosen 12, and one of you is a devil. That reduced it to 11. 11 is division. Joseph was the 11th son to come into the family, and they all hated him. If you're a Josephite or if you're an Ephraimite, praise Yahweh, you have people to envy, people to be jealous of you, to hate you, and it is the spirit of the very same spirit that destroyed Judas. He went out and hung himself for his conscience, defiling by betraying and killing the master. He killed the inward mind. That's what he done. See, he took the carnal life, the five senses, and he destroyed the inner being, which was the Christ child, which was Christ. So, now, in slaying Goliath, why did David pick five stones? This describes the power of the inner child, David, against the giant. the giant is our thoughts or our lower mind. You see, we can make a mountain out of a molehill of our thoughts. You know, I've worried about things all night long and couldn't sleep, and then got up the next morning, the sun shining, and all that went away. It was all in vain. So it's the thoughts of our lower mind. The child, the inner child, must have control, and it's hard to give him control because you don't trust a child. You don't trust your... You see, we want to be strong and macho, and nobody's going to run over me. Glory to God. And all these things that we do in the flesh, the ego and all these things. And, you know, when we're done wrong, we want to do wrong and things of this nature. But this inner child is the control over the five senses. That's why I chose five smooth stones. Sight, taste, touch, smell, and hearing. All of these are, if we see something, we want it. We lust for it. If we couldn't see it, we wouldn't lust. A blind man don't lust after much. Taste. We've become glutton. Most of us are overweight, out of shape, eating wrong foods and all those things. So our appetite, the Bible said if you be a man or a woman, be given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. You're actually committing slowly suicide. So then our taste, the touch. Oh, how we love to touch. We get so lonesome to touch someone. We like to feel someone next to us and things of this nature. And oh, how we like to smell those sweet smelling smells and things of this nature. The aroma of something that smells good is inductive, and the smell of the things that don't smell too good, and you know, these are obstructive. It turns us off. And we are victim to smell. Hearing. All we like to hear, well, we like to have our ears tickled, and it's the things that we hear gets us in trouble. Think not, touch not, taste not, and handle not. That's what God said. The child gets control of the senses through meditation. Meditate upon these things, the Bible said. Now, if he only took four stones, he would have had to overcome the giant of his lower mind by something he saw or something that he heard or something that he could think of himself. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Almighty Yahweh. That's what David did. He said, you come to me with sticks and stones. I come to you in the name of the eternal, universal King of all kings, Yahweh. And he slayed him. See the mind of the power of the name. Jacob got it there, and you can get it. My, how time's getting away. I'm so enjoying being with you tonight. My time just flies away. I wish I had 2 hours, praise Yahweh. But I don't. Now, let me tell you why that the biblical temple was built without any sound of a tool upon it. The temple is the symbol of the human mind. Your temple can only be constructed spiritually in the total silence of your inward thought process, meaning that you have to turn yourself over to the inward being or the inner child. So then it's the symbol of the human mind. The war of your soul is won in your mind. That's why Satan comes to tempt Christ on the mountain and say, cast yourself down. Jump out of the temple. Go ahead. You can come back to life. You're God, you can do anything you want. Turn the stones to bread. See, the tempting, the carnal, he was hungry, he was thirsty. He was weary in his flesh man. The old flesh man said, I like to do this. If it was a joy to go out and fast 40 days, you'd do it all the time. But it ain't joy. I've been there, I've done that. It ain't joyful. Although when you get around 20 or 30 days in, I'm telling you, it's just like you're floating. It's just like you're in another world. Things are so unreal how you can see after cleansing your body of food processes. You see, the Bible says that the food of the earth has a curse on it. Now remember, the earth was cursed for Adam's sake. So if you keep on ingesting through gluttony, taste, smell, hear, feeling, and touching, and the things that wrap around the carnal senses, but if you'll empty yourself, that's why fasting is so important. You've got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever want power of God, if you really want the inward peace of a child, the inner child, that's joy unspeakable and full of glory, if you want to go to perfection, the only way you can be totally free of the carnal thought is that you take the temple without any sound. There's no hammering in your mind. There's no chiseling on your mind. It's a total silence. Remember that when Elijah went up to the mountain, and the storm came, and the wind blowed, and the great thunder and lightning quaked, and God wasn't in none of that. And Elijah said, set still, and he waited. and then came up another big rack and he waited, and then came up another temptation and he waited, and then the Bible said there was a still, small voice, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And Elijah spoke. It was the still, small voice. And that's what you must listen for. It's the still, small voice. And that's what that represents. And that's why that there was no tools or hammering in the ark. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to tell you why Noah took two of every animal unclean and everything into the ark, and some more of these whys as we go into part three of why. Why do we grow in grace? Why do we have this inner being? Why do we have or seek after the things that's hid from the wise and the prudent and the world? See, the world can't have it. The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. You need to latch onto it, and the Bible said, hold on to life. And to get it, you've got to go through hell to get into heaven. Praise Yahweh. That's the carnal senses. Hell is nothing but the carnal sense. You can make your own prison in your carnal mind. Or you can make your liberty through the Spirit. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there's liberty. Well, this is Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call, and my time is already come and gone. I enjoy so much being with you. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. And keep yourself unspotted from the world and seek the inner child and the peace that goes with it. If you'd like to call me tonight, simply dial area code 423-626-2172. If you've never called me, I'd appreciate you calling me. You've been thinking about it. You've wanted to. Well, why don't you just pick up that phone and call Pastor Betty? You know, I can carry on the conversation. So if you'd like to talk to me. Come in and talk to me. We'll talk about it. Man to man or woman to woman. Praise Yahweh. We'll just have a good conversation. And we'll talk about the male-female aspects of the spirit and the calling and the spiritual mind. And tell me about some of your experiences. Praise Yahweh. I can tell you a lot about mine. And we'll get acquainted. If you're a first-time caller, call me up. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, address your letters to Pastor Betty. Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. The town is New Tazewell. N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's 37824. Now, we are getting letters from foreign countries. We have developed communication with people just basically around the world through our efforts of radio outreach. And it was made possible by men of faith, men who had a vision for the truth that we preach on the Shepherd's Call to reach out and touch you. We want to reach out not to touch your carnal man. We're not interested in him, although it's necessary to have this flesh body as a vehicle, but keep it under control and love Yahweh and fear him and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And we'll talk to you sometime about the commandment-keeping process. We started Dev 9. We didn't get to finish it in the way we would like to. We didn't get into the doctrinal stands like we wanted to. So we're going to tell you how to please. We believe, still please the Father, and do those things which are pleasing His sight. If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. If you say you love Him, you know. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you. Jacob Israel.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this Sunday session. Praise Yahweh.